half the 16th pole, though. It's Conagher still in front. Conagher there a length and a half now. Old Homestead second. It's going to be Conagher to go on and win it here. Conagher back to his winning ways. Got it by two in the end.
The Races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
What do you say now? A couple of Virginia music groups bet the stretch run of Conagher in the Housebuster Stakes at Colonial Downs last Monday. That was eye-catching, not only at Colonial Downs and in Virginia, but also across the country, an impressive performance there. We'll have that race replay by Jason Beam in a few moments. Thanks for spending your Saturday mornings with us on Off to the Races. On today's show, we'll have Victor Carrasco, a leading rider at Colonial Downs. He'll join us on Off to the Races here in about 12 or 13 minutes or so. Frank Vespi is living the dream with Jerry Robb, who will join us at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson is on top of a horse. We'll tell you which one here at about 10:45 or so. David Zenner just around the corner getting the substitute mount from Daryl Wood, who is cruising. So David does a lot of work in the simulcasting department at Colonial Downs, and it'd be interesting to just hear his insight about how simulcasting has been going for Colonial Signal and how it's been received, and a couple of wagers, new and old. We'll talk to him here in just mere moments. But in the trainer standings at Colonial Downs, the leading trainer of the meet, Larry Ravelli, 3 on the turf, 3 on the dirt, 6 wins on the meet, and he currently leads all trainers with those 6 wins. Michael Stidham and Michael Trembetta both have 4. It's very competitive amongst the trainers. You are not seeing trainers necessarily win multiple races on multiple days, even though Monica Magui actually had a nice day winning 2 on the same card. Also, the jockey standings at Colonial Downs, Jareth Loveberry thought he might come in and have a good meet. He's starting to get a little bit of separation, 11 wins on the meet. Jan Avelis, the Bug Boy, has 9 wins on the meet, an apprentice rider. Victor Carrasco, who we'll talk to, Joseph Rocco, who you'll hear some voice here in a little bit, have 7 wins on the meet. And then you have Treble McCarthy, Lionel Reyes, and Edward Zayas, actually, with 5 wins each. So very heavy on Toledo, actually, with 5 wins as well as Caramanos, who have won all of his races on the turf. So very competitive amongst the jockeys. We'll have the jockeys welcome you to the show as well.
What's up, guys? This is Victor Carrasco, and welcome to Colonial Downs, and hoping to see you guys very soon at the races, and best of luck.
Hey, this is Jan Avelis, the Bug Boy. And then welcome to Colonial Downs.
Hello, everyone. I'm Charlie Marquez, and I'd like to welcome you guys to Colonial Downs.
Hey, my name is Jose Alonso. I love Colonial Downs, and I like the work, the Colonial Downs. I like the race.
Hey, this is Joe Rocco Jr. Welcome, everybody, back to Colonial Downs, the best turf in the country.
Isn't it great? These jockeys give you their all on and off the court, course, I should say. It's a tough week on the basketball court for me as well as the racetrack. But the Jose Alonso was the other voice there, and it's great. We've had a lot of fun with them participating. We'll start working in the trainers on the upcoming shows, kind of running out of jockeys to greet you into Off to the Races. Last Monday at Colonial Downs, August 1st, it was the Housebuster Stakes, and this was a field last year. Let's see, who won the Housebuster last year? I think it was Locomotive, actually, No, that's actually the stakes races on Tuesday. But the Housebuster overnight handicap had a field of six, originally 10. The big favorite in the race was Conagher, and Joseph Rocco had the mount. Here's how Jason Beam called the stretch run.
As Conagher turns for home in front, it's Conagher off the turn. Old Homestead, Excel in between horses, now back to third. Three more back to No Sabe Nada, as Conagher has to make 3/16 of a mile more. Old Homestead on the outside, still 3/4 of a length back in the second position. No Sabe Nada trying to close in. Excel still battling on toward the inside. At the 16th pole, though, it's Conagher still in front. Conagher there a length and a half now. Old Homestead second. It's going to be Conagher to go on and win it here. Conagher back to his winning ways. Got it by two in the end.
Yeah, Conagher comes off a second-place finish and is back in the winner's circle with Joseph Rocco aboard for trainer Michael Tomlinson. And I think I saw where he ran a 94, 95 buyer. Not bad for Conagher here and going 7 furlongs on the dirt. So good effort by Conagher, and we'll have to see where his future plans are. Here's what Joseph Rocco said about his easy ride.
I don't know if you can say great ride on him. I just kind of sit there, hang on and go for the ride. With him, the less I do, the better I feel. So he's gotten to where he knows what to do. I give him his head and he runs around there fast and keeps going and outruns him.
You had some great meets here early on. Colonial 2.0, talked to you a little bit about this a few years ago, but what are your thoughts about coming back here and winning a stake and just racing here in 2022?
There's no other better turf course in the country. I love riding here for that. My business from Kentucky came back out here last year, so I was all too happy to come and follow them. And we did it again this year, so with Churchill buying it, hopefully next year more Kentucky people come and have even more business, hopefully.
Yeah, that was Joe Rocco Jr., who we hope to get on the show here shortly. Congratulations to those connections. Just recapping a race at Saratoga, the Jim Dandy Stakes last week. Epicenter got a win in the four-horse field and seems to be poised to go to the Travers. Got the win over pace-setting Preakness winner Early Voting, and congratulations to Epicenter, who seems to be, I mean, he is just there on the threshold of being maybe the top three-year-old. He just needs – that Travers is going to be big for those connections. But want to reach out here to David Zenner, who picks up the mount from Daryl Wood. David, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Sitting here with 1 foot up on my desk, sprained an ankle yesterday morning playing basketball, but just going to jockey on through the show, much like you are. Hope you're feeling better, and certainly a week here at Colonial Downs. The meet so far just seems to be going well. What can you tell us just about Handle and the national reception, and perhaps how the simulcasting has been through the first, call it, trimester of the meet?
Yeah, actually, we're coming up on the halfway point, and I couldn't be happier, and I think management in general couldn't be happier. The move to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the afternoon, I really think we found our niche, especially on Monday and Tuesday with the lack of major product. I don't want to put down anybody who is out there running Monday and Tuesday. They're all trying the same move we're trying here, to get some eyes on the product via TVG or whatever ADW that they use. And we're averaging almost 2.5 million. 2.484 was the number through Thursday. And that's well up from last year, which was well up from the year before. So what we're seeing is, we're seeing a nice increase year over year since we've come back in 2019. And, that's a wonderful sign that people are really accepting the racing here in the Commonwealth.
I pulled up the overnight. I haven't printed out the PPs yet for Wednesday's card, but the pick five, and now they're 10 races, so maybe I'm a little bit off here, but 12 horses in 4 of the last 5 races of the day. The full fields must be helping. I remember one time, I'm pretty sure there was a card that had 14 races of 14 horses, except for one race, which had 10. Very similar to what you're seeing on Wednesday. Tell us, the pick fours, the pick fives, generating, how to trying to piece these races together in the scheduling. It really is a science, isn't it?
It very much is. And the race to me on a 9 race card, when we talk in the racing office, when we're trying to set the races, that the most important to me is the 5th race. It's the pivot race. It's the first race of the pick 5, and it's the closing race of the early pick 4. So you want that to be a very, very strong race, so people are looking into both pools. And then you obviously want a good, solid pick 5 in general, and you want your stronger races in the back half of the card, as long as the field size is good. So, Allison DeLuca, our racing secretary, and Stan Sheena, our assistant, they really do a fantastic job of not only getting the horses entered, but then putting the card together in a way that works. And, sometimes you look at the early half of a card, and we're the same way as anybody else. The early half of the card, that's where you're going to find your shorter 7s and 8s and, heaven forbid, 6-horse fields. You get them out of the way, and you hope that the back half of the card, really is very, very strong. In a perfect world, you have nothing, like you said, a 14 race card with nothing but 14s.
Yeah, that's the Colonial is very capable of at least nearing that. With those big fields, that's what handicappers like to see, and there's a handicapping contest just around the corner.
Yeah, it's an online handicapping contest. You can find information on it on our website and also on the NTRA website with, the upcoming events, because it is an NTRA qualifier. So it's 2 seats to the NTRA and also two seats to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge for the top 4 players in the contest. It's $600 buy-in, $300 is your bankroll, $300 goes to the prize fund. Every penny that goes in goes out. It's a zero takeout pool. So I know that's very important to players when they get in, as to how much the track is taking. And in this case, we're taking, outside of a little bit of administrative fees to, Breeders' Cup and so forth to pay for the seats. Everything is going out. And that just makes it a wonderful contest. They can find information online. It involves our races for the day, so the pick 5 would come into play, although that wouldn't be in the contest because we restrict it to, single race plays in the contest. But the pick 5, just you mentioned it briefly, with the 12% takeout, we're averaging about $147,000 a day in the pick 5. And last year, we were averaging maybe $90,000. So the bettors are really responding to the lower takeout there, and and that's a good thing. And Monday, I'm excited. We'll try the Mid-Atlantic pick 4 again. We did 40,000 the first week, and I'm confident that the numbers will go up from there. And 2 races from 6th and 7th from Monmouth, and 7th and 8th from Colonial, and it'll go Monmouth Colonial, just like it did last week.
Yeah, four races in 40 minutes. So just a nice wager there, a nice addition, and like to see more of that.
Get it in, get it out, and, the players, they can move right back on into playing, whether it's Monmouth or us or both of us or another track. Like you said, 40 minutes in and out.
Yeah, great. David, thanks a lot, and I know you must be satisfying an Arlington guy like you seeing Larry Rivelli and Chris Block and even Michael Campbell so prominent in the standings. Michael Stidham, who's sort of bridge Colonial in Arlington back in the day in the jockey standings. You must be happy to see those Arlington horsemen doing so well.
I'm close friends with Jareth Ludbury, who's our leading jockey, and his wife Stacy's one of the photographers. So the other day I built the standings, and I circled Jareth's name and Ravelli's name, and I sent it to them. I said, "Does this look familiar?"
Yeah, that's so great to see.
It's a little like a homecoming. So I will definitely be homesick when the meet's over and those guys head on head back over to Hawthorne, and I'll be staying here, although I'm loving living in Virginia, so I'm excited about it.
Great. Dave, we'll bring you back next week for Off to the Races, and thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to have a great show.
Great. David Zenner joining us on Off to the Races this morning. And as promised, just around the corner is Victor Carrasco. He's 30 years old, started racing in America in 2013, and has had a good meet at Colonial Downs. And he now joins us on Off to the Races after he was one of the few that actually had a good day at Laurel yesterday, because they had two races lost due to storms and was dodging the lightning. But Victor Carrasco with a good day at Laurel yesterday and looking to continue his winning ways at Colonial Downs. Victor, thanks for spending some time with us on Off to the Races. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Victor Carrasco, you started racing at Laurel mainly. You came over in 2013 after attending, made a little bit of light of some of the language issues when we did the jockey welcome. I'm going to try and speak a little bit of Spanish here. The Escuela Vocinal Hípica Jockey School. Did I even get that close?
Close enough. The effort is what matters, but you was kind of close. Close enough.
How do you say it?
Escuela, it means school. Vocational, hípica, like for horsemen.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, I learned a little bit of Spanish here on Off to the Races. It's a famed jockey school that where like Jose and Irad Ortiz, John Velasquez, a lot of jockeys have come through. But tell us a little bit about yourself, primarily based at Laurel, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your thoughts of the racing at Colonial Downs.
Well, as you say, my name is Victor Carrasco. I am 30 years old. I am from Puerto Rico. And I came to the United States to ride up here in 2013. And I've been based in the Mid-Atlantic since then. Most likely, like, as you say, Laurel is in my home track. And yeah, I've been traveling back and forward to Colonial for the last couple of years. I mean, expected only the COVID year, I wasn't able to make it through because, we have to stay in one track at a time. And as you said, I've been at Colonial this year and I've been very lucky to be winning some races. And looking forward to keep winning.
As people may know, I handicap Nick's picks on the racingbiz.com website. I handicap every race at Colonial Downs, and I have just had a difficult year. But last Monday, you delivered my biggest winner of the year, Master of the Senate, paid $19.80, and I thought I actually may have figured out Colonial for a moment. But tell us about Master of the Senate, that win, and just the week that you had at Colonial Downs.
Yes, he's a very, very nice horse. I've been getting to know them horses before they run. I've been traveling most of the time, 3-4 days a week to Fair Hill, where Mr. Toner is stable at. And I was able to be to be honest, I never sat on a horse, but I was always being beside him working in company. And he showed some ability, and Mr. Toner was very high on the horse. And to be honest, it took me by surprise because, sometimes them made in special ways fields at Colonial, they can come pretty tough. And, the horse broke a little slow, and I was able to save some ground in both turns, and I was very patient. And, he run like an old horse. He was, he split the horses, he moved along, he went inside, and he got the job done. So, as I said, he run very, very good. And I had a good week, couple of seconds, thirds, and you know, some scratches. And I'm looking forward for Monday.
You've ridden some nice horses in your career, especially at Laurel, Cordmaker and Joe and Field Pass. Today, trying to find out as we were coming on the air, we know that the two stakes at Laurel are going to be on the dirt. You had Quality Control in the Searching Stakes for Michael Trombetta. What are your thoughts on the race? Will it make a difference, or how much of a difference will it make coming off the turf and going to the dirt?
Well, to be honest, I just got out of Trombetta's barn, and I haven't talked to him because I believe he's in Saratoga. And I don't, you know, looking at the form, the feeling seems like she's been doing super well on the synthetic and on the turf. And I believe today is going to be the first time that she runs on the dirt. And she's been working okay on the dirt, but it's completely different when they come into racing on the dirt. And I'm sure pretty much the whole field is almost the same. Like, they all of them have been running on turf. So, you know, I just have to get together with Mike and talk to him and see what his plan, you know, what the plan is going to be. I mean, she's a nice filly. She's been working pretty well. So I'm hoping to, you know, wait and see what he has to say.
The races at Laurel today, when you first came over from Puerto Rico, I think your first win I saw this morning was at Tampa Bay Downs, but then you kind of wandered around briefly and then landed at Laurel. What made you hang your tack at Laurel? Why did Laurel become your home track?
Well, to be honest, when I left home, Puerto Rico, I went to Gulfstream first for like a week or two, and it was pretty tough, you know, March, first week of March, championship meet, and, you know, you have all the Hall of Famer jockeys like Castellano and Johnny B and all them guys. So I decided to make the move to Tampa Bay Downs. And it took me a little bit, you know, to get going. And I decided to, things were tough down there as well. So I got a call from a trainer up here in Maryland. And he told me, "Oh, Victor, I have an agent for you up here. And if you want to come up here and try something different, then I promise you I'm going to help you out to write some winners and move forward." So I speak to a guy, a friend of mine, who was writing down there at the time, Luis Garcia, who is up here now. And he told me, "Victor, you cannot let this opportunity get away from you. This is not a racetrack for apprentice. And you should take advantage of it and go on." And, you know, they say the guy is going to find you a place to live. He has you a good agent and a car and everything. So I decided to pack my stuff and leave. And I've been here since.
How about that? Luis Garcia is a great guy. We've had him on the show several times and actually was leading rider at Colonial back in the, I think one is, I'm going to call it 2006 or 7, but he was actually a leading rider. He is a good guy. How do you see, you're 30 years old, you're starting to pick up some really nice mounts, starting to get reputation, getting wins. What do you hope to do in the future?
Well, to be honest, like exactly what I've been doing, I've been working extremely hard, and, you know, I've been, you know, I wouldn't say I'm lucky, but, you know, I've been hurt a few times. And I'm just hoping that I can stay healthy and keep working. And hopefully down the road I can find myself a good horse that could take me to the next level. You know, that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay, yeah, there are plenty of good horses. Maybe you'll find one at Colonial, and good luck with the rest of the meet. We'll be watching this week as you have several mounts at Colonial Downs, and good luck with the career, and thank you for helping me with my Spanish this morning.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Once again, thank you for having me on anytime.
Great. Victor Carrasco joining us on Off to the Races. just I'll tell you, there's so many good stories at Colonial Downs, and you just we try and report them through the racingbiz.com and on this show, and we really don't scratch the surface. You know, if you saw, like on Monday when Sheldon Russell won the race and Brittany Russell won two back-to-back races, I mean, that was just a good moment for Edie and Rye and the Russell family there. So there's so many good stories like that that surface if you just kind of look around a little bit more than you can actually cover. So I want to thank Victor for some time this morning. Weather across the country at the spa after 2 o'clock, it could be a little dicey with the showers and storms. 91, it's going to be hot. Heat index could be as much as 100, but they will race. Sort of a similar situation at Laurel, where they will be off the turf today. At Del Mar, 78 degrees is the high, partly cloudy. It's going to be gorgeous out there. She Dares the Devil runs in the Clement Hirsch little later today, about 9 o'clock East Coast time. A grade one. There are three grade ones at Saratoga today. There's just so much racing action. We're going to take a break here on Off to the Races and want to thank the Virginia Harness Horsemen's Association to stepping up with some sponsorship to extend the show through the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup Classic Future Wager is available this weekend, and meet coming up at Shenandoah Downs starting in mid-September. You'll hear this spot going into the break, and just want to thank them for stepping up and sponsoring the show. When we come back, Frank Vespi will speak with Jerry Robb. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer. Here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as Harness Racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy Hour Racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock, and on September 17th, it's free long-sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family-friendly.
The leading sire of PA-bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania two-year-old stallion series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them, 9 weeks of racing in 2022. More money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs, more days, more money, more fun. First post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Thanks for spending a bit of your Saturday morning with us. Going to be joined now by trainer John Robb. He's been doing this whole horse training business since 1975, more than 2,100 wins on the resume, including Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Famer Little Bull John. John, welcome to the program.
Hi. Good morning, Frank.
I want to start you with this. Last week, you had a lot of hope in the start of NASCAR Stakes, and he was an obvious contender, especially if you didn't like the favorite, which in that spot I didn't particularly like the favorite. But it looked like a pretty wide open field. Your horse benefits from a perfect setup, but he wins by 15 lengths. Did you see a 15 length win in the crystal ball?
No, I didn't. This horse has always shown more talent in the morning than I've seen in the afternoon, but he's always finding a way to get the ball. So the other day he had a clear trip, and that shocked all of us, not gonna lie.
Does it make you think differently about him? Do you think maybe – does it make you think he might be a better horse than you had seen?
Well, we always thought he was a better horse than what we've seen, but maybe not that much. But who knows? I mean, time will tell what he beat. Yeah, you know, just that one race doesn't make me go crazy with him. Right. I mean, he did run very fast. I will say that.
No, it was a huge effort, and you must have been happy with it. You put heavy on Toledo on him, and he made the key move when he kind of gunned him a little bit to pin the favorite in at the rail. That was kind of the decisive moment. Although he ran so well, he might have won from anywhere that day.
Well, I mean, he did exactly what I would hope he would do. He had the favorite, had a chance to put the favorite in trouble, and whenever you get that chance, you got to take it. And he rode a great race.
So this week, let's spin ahead to today. You got Majestic Frontier in the Bald Eagle Derby, and that race is going to be taken off the turf, running a mile and 3/16 on the main track. And this is a pretty interesting horse. I mean, in his first start for you, he got pretty well dusted. This was back in December in a bottom level maiden race at Laurel. Three starts later, he runs second in the Miracle Woods Stakes. Talk about how this horse has kind of come around for you.
Well, the owners called me and gave me the horse when a girl that had her Chelsea, somebody left Delaware. And she had run the horse at Laurel and left it with me. And I thought the horse was fit, and I just run it back, and he wasn't. So I think he needed the first time I ran. Then when I ran him back, he won easy. Stepped him up, he won again. I mean, he just wasn't fit when they turned him over to me.
Now, he's a son of Keen Ice. Keen Ice did his best work going a mile and a quarter. So the mile and 3/16 of today's Bald Eagle Derby ought to serve him. I mean, do you feel like this is a pretty good spot for him?
No, I think it's a little tough for him. I went in there mainly just to try the turf. And if it came off the turf, it might come up a very short field. But I guess wrong, because I haven't seen any scratches yet.
No, it seems like everybody's staying in, which is interesting.
I know, that surprises me.
Could be later scratches coming, though, because there's a couple out-of-town horses. So.
I know. I thought for sure the out-of-town horses wouldn't even come when they heard the scratch yesterday.
That was a pretty interesting day at Laurel. You're going along racing, and then they cancel with two races left after starting the card an hour late. How does that work for you horsemen?
Well, it started a little bit of a problem because they moved the post up an hour and something, and then they came around trying to get late at regular time, which would really mess up the horse's system with the laces, so we had to address that problem. And then it canceled the last two races. So, I mean, it was an eventful day.
Got to be ready for anything when you're a horse trainer. We're talking with John Robb, trainer of Majestic Frontier in today's Bald Eagle Derby. I want to look ahead now on Tuesday, a couple of stakes at Colonial Downs for two-year-old Virginia horses.
And you're sending quite a group down. You've got four scheduled to run, two in the Hickory Tree, two in the Keswick. And let me start on this topic. You've had a lot of success with two-year-olds over the years, and you've been very successful at sort of getting early two-year-olds, getting them ready, winning early, and then being able to win some stakes with them. How did your sort of focus on two-year-olds, how did that kind of come about?
Well, when I started in the business, I started training for Hal Claggett, who ended up being the leading breeder many, many times in Maryland. And he would send me all his young horses, and I would ask him for him to send them to me early so I'd have them ready early, because it's shorter distances, a lot quicker to get them ready, and easier racing. Racing seems to get tougher and tougher every week once it starts. So the earlier it is, the easier it is. So I've been doing it that way since the 70s, so you get used to it.
Seems to have served you pretty well over the years. In the Hickory Tree on Tuesday, Brittany Russell's got a horse, Heldish, who could be tough. Mike Maker sending Simply Super, who is the morning line favorite. But one of yours that's kind of interesting is Bandit's Heart. This horse is debuting in this spot, half to Anna's Bandit. Tell us about Bandit's Heart.
He's a very large horse. I mean, he's probably as big as Anna as a two-year-old, so I've had to take my time with him to get him here. And that race to me in Virginia, we're taking advantage of the Virginia certified races, which the race comes up easier than normal. So I had to make a choice, either running maiden special at Laurel or for 50,000 or there for 150. And I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the two competition wise. So I might as well run where the money's better and hopefully shows up.
Would you have, I imagine you'd have preferred, if everything had worked perfectly, to get a race in them before trying this, or are you pretty comfortable either way?
I would have rather had a race under him, but I don't think he'll need one. I mean, he's going to run his race regardless. If he's good enough, he'll win. If he's not, he'll get beat. Yeah. Try it another day.
It sounds like you like the horse a little bit, though.
He can run a little bit, yeah, no question about it. I mean, I don't know whether he's any better than the other one I have in there, the General JR. I mean, he's got two or three races under his belt, and he's got the experience, so I think he's got just as much a shot.
You also have two in the Keswick, including the morning line favorite, Cocktail Dreaming, who's a half to recent Lewis Stakes winner, Mama G's Wish. Give us the lowdown on Cocktail Dreaming.
There again, she's started early, has already won, has plenty of experience, can go to the front or come from off of it. And that's a lot of money for to run in those kind of races, so be a fool not to have her in it and hope for the best.
Yeah, you guys have been pretty effective, I think, at taking advantage. You got you and your wife Gina, who run as No Guts, No Glory. You've got horses, you know, you want Mama G's Wish, won the Lewis Stakes, which is Delaware certified. Now you're down in Virginia. I mean, it seems like the smart horseman in the Mid-Atlantic, there's a lot of things you can take advantage of if you kind of plan things right.
Yeah, Gina does all that. She takes it to an extreme. I mean, she sends them to Virginia for 6 months and then to Delaware for three to be broke. And then she puts a padlock on the mailbox. And when the mailbox money comes in, I don't see any of it. She's got it down to perfect system.
And the perfect system involves keeping you out of the loop.
Exactly. I can't even get in the mailbox.
This is what married life is it not?
No, but it's a very good program, and it's always nice to open the mailbox and find a check, even though I don't get to see it. She does show it to me once in a while.
She tells you it exists, though, so this is good. Now, I was kind of looking at your record over the years, and I still to this day, and maybe it's always going to be this way, I guess the best horse that you trained was Little Bull John, who ran a billion times and won a whole bunch of stakes, including, I think, 5 graded stakes. And what's a kind of a favorite memory for you of Little Bull John, who ran, I guess, around 1990, like in the late 80s, early 90s?
The two races stand out. He won the second running in the Maryland Million, which was huge at the time, and which stands out. And then the other one, I took him to Gulfstream, and he beat Skip Trial and Lady Secret in the Don Handicap. That was a huge accomplishment. And paid $113, something crazy.
Do you have a couple bucks on him?
Oh, yeah. We all did. I mean, he had beaten Skip Trial twice. 2 out of 3 times they met each other. He was even money, and I was 55-1, so.
Somehow the betting public whiffed on that one, huh?
Yeah, they were all mesmerized with Lady Secret. And she just didn't run a race.
All right, John, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for joining us here on Off to the Races. Good luck with Majestic Frontier today and your 4 horses on Tuesday, and we'll be keeping an eye on things. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Frank. Thank you.
Nick, we'll kick it back to you. That was John Robb, longtime fixture in the Mid-Atlantic. And before I entirely kick it back, I also wanted to add my thanks, which you had said earlier, to our friends at the Virginia Harness Horse Association for joining us and enabling us to go all the way through to Breeders' Cup this year. Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, I nicknamed that meet Shenatoga because it really sort of has that kind of feel from a weather standpoint and just the small town with the track standpoint. It's a good substitute if you don't make it up to the spa to come out there and really see some throwback racing there. So yeah, we're thrilled to have them aboard. Of course, Gina, Jerry's wife here, actually many know perhaps as Gina Rosenthal, who actually hosted the Colonial Signal back in the day, and I guess Laurel too. But yeah, that was a great interview with Jerry Robb. Good luck today.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck to him. Good luck to both of us as we put some money through the windows.
I tell you what, I really need some luck. I thought I had it figured out, and it just went shambles all over again at Colonial. I'll try and do better, Frank.
Last week at Laurel, there were 2 horses that I thought were lead pipe cinches. Both of them won, and somehow I made like $10 on the day. Like, where am I throwing all this money when the horses I really like win and pay a little?
Yeah. So. It can be a frustrating game, but it's a lot of fun. But thanks, Frank. Great interview. We'll talk to you next week on Off to the Races. And, of course, theracingbiz.com has Nick's picks, and there's all kinds of information on there about not only racing at Colonial Downs but through the Mid-Atlantic. We're going to reach out to Derby Bill here in a few moments and kind of looking ahead here at some of the racing at Colonial Downs. Frank alluded to the 2 stakes races on Tuesday, a little bit different. They had the 1 cancellation due to the heat, and so they're absorbing that day through a number of cards. That's why you'll see 10 races on a number of cards moving forward at Colonial Downs. The stakes races actually will be at the 5th and 7th race on Tuesday. So a little bit different take there on the stakes racing. The Hickory Tree, which is named after Middleburg Farm, last year, Locomotive won that race. And then who could forget Cavalier Cupid and a great start Sarah Nagel had, winning two races at Colonial Downs, including the Keswick, which is the Keswick is a $150,000 stakes race that has nine fillies going to the gate. So great card on Tuesday. The weather looks pretty good. It, you know, it is summer. It's going to be hot. The 93 degrees as a high on Monday, 95 on Tuesday, 94 on Wednesday, but it looks like only a 50% chance of rain on Wednesday. So a good week ahead for racing at Colonial Downs. 1:45 post time on Monday. If you get there early, you can see two steeplechase races. I think those races start a little bit after 12 o'clock. But we want to bring in Derby Bill, who has been watching the horse. And he is having some breakfast. I think Derby Bill was up early and kind of wondering why he so chose Supertramp as his intro music this week. Good morning, Derby Bill. Are you having breakfast in America?
Oh, yeah. It's American tradition. The Whitney Day at Saratoga, they get a 7:55. It's the biggest 6-furlong dash to the picnic area you'll ever see in your life. 40,000 people trying to cram into a picnic area. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, a little less surreal down here with weekday racing at Colonial Downs. So weekends are pretty much quiet except for morning workouts. And, you know, today they had morning workouts despite the monsoons everywhere around Richmond, Virginia. Colonial Downs had their track ready and for Damon's Mound, which is heading up to Saratoga next week for the big race, the Grade 2 Saratoga Special that's been won in the past by horses like Whirl Away and Swale and, I mean, Favorite Trick, Union Rags, Exaggerator. What I mean is, as a two-year-old that has, you know, tremendous potential, and he worked out today at Colonial Downs despite the horrific weather.
Yeah, I've seen the report here. He just breezed 4 furlongs and about 49 and a half. Ran an 84 buyer during a 12 and a half length win going 6 furlongs. You and I both know when you win a 6-furlong race by 12 and a half lengths, going covering the distance in 109 and 84 hundredths of a second, that's moving. And this is a horse that is trained by Michelle Lovell, owned by Michelle and Cliff Love. So there's lots of love for this horse, especially from Gabriel Saez, huh?
Yeah, Gabriel flew in from Ellis Park just for the workout this morning. Flew in and flew back out and races and race two or three today at Ellis Park. So that's how important this horse is. You fly the jockey in that's going to ride him at Saratoga next week, and you fly him out. And no matter what the weather is like, and no matter how many delays and airport weather, Lavelle has really turned into quite the love affair for Colonial Downs. So they call it, what is it, Virginia is for Lavelle's. I think that's what the saying is now. She has Just Might. She come into attention around here. Everybody remembers Just Might won the Chesapeake and the couple stakes races at Colonial Downs. And actually, Just Might will run down here at Colonial in the Chesapeake, I believe, in a couple weeks. So, and then she has another one, Change of Control training here at Colonial Downs that will run at Saratoga August 20th. Next, Change of Control won the Andy Geist here stakes race at Colonial and heading to Saratoga too. So, Colonial is quite the stepping stone for Saratoga.
It really, there is sort of a neat marriage. You just wonder how that's going to play out in the future as racing dates get more, you know, Colonial generates more and more racing dates. They just really have some sort of symbiotic relationship with Saratoga. I guess a lot of tracks do, but with the turf and the steeplechase racing, and just the purses. It's early week. It's kind of that early week alternative to Saratoga during the height of their meet. At Colonial Downs on Tuesday, we're going to skip ahead here and just great field on Monday, a great card with 10 races, and most of the fields on Monday having 10 horses in it. But let's go ahead and look at the stakes race, the Hickory Tree, $150,000 on the dirt for 2-year-olds. And this has a field of 8 in it. I did not check the morning lines on this yet, but I would think that just kind of looking at it, Simply Super, Michael Maker's horse with Horacio Caramanis would coming out of the Bashford Manor would probably be the favorite. We just heard a little bit about Bandit's Heart from Jerry Robb there. But what are your thoughts on the 5-furlong turf sprint for 2-year-olds?
Yeah, definitely a stepping stone race again. Going five on the turf, though. It's like Horacio Caramanis is it seems to have a path on the turf at Colonial Downs. Maybe not as much on the dirt, but you are correct. At 9-5, the Simply Super is the official morning line. 9-5 favorite there over Heldish. I like Heldish here. Sheldon Russell and Brittany Russell have just, you know, they were 2-for-2. Brought 2 horses down here last week and won both races. I mean, yeah, that's a good record. Heldish is the name of the horse. I think he might get you a little more money, 4-1, maybe 7-2, as opposed to Horatio. So if you're maybe an exacta box with them too, possibly. Christian Olmo is up on a horse called General JR also. So if you're looking for it to spread out in these trifectas and not sure which races are tied in with this, because the 5th, 6th, and 7th, yeah, there it is. The pick 3 will be races 5, the Hickory Tree, and then the Allowance Monster, 14-horse field if they all go in the 6th. And then the 7th is the one you're going to mention, the Keswick, the stakes, the 200, the twin two, the twin 150s, I'll call them. Surrounding a turf race with 14 on the turf. So nice pick 3 opportunity there, Nick, Tuesday for you to gobble up on your tip sheet.
Yeah, also the pick 5, of course, which starts in race 5, only 12% takeout there. So you heard me chuckle a little bit when you mentioned Brittany. She's only 3 wins and 5 starts, winning at 60% at Colonial Downs for the meet. So, yeah, I think the Russells are having a good time in New Kent when they venture down. 2 races after that is the Keswick, and that's the race mentioned earlier, Cavalier Cupid won this race last year, a very impressive meet for Cavalier Cupid, and this has a field of 9 in it, and I'm not even going to try and pick out the favorite here. It could be Christian Almo on cocktail drinking. Maybe I've been drinking cocktails this morning, but Cocktail Dreaming, and Jared Loveberry has Jayla in this race coming in from Indianapolis. But what are your thoughts on the Keswick here, 5 furlongs on the dirt again for the fillies?
Yeah, this one will enhance your pick 3s, pick 4s, pick 5s, whatever you're playing. This one's evenly matched here. Horse named after a song long ago. I think it was Black Betty. Oh, Black Betty, Wham Lam. You remember that song?
Yeah, we played it this spring, yeah.
Yeah. It's an old rock classic. One-hit wonder group. I can't remember the name of them. But Backseat Betty is Joe Rocco's on this one. And it's a $10 horse. I mean, it's, you know, but in this race, everybody will be over $10. Cocktail Dreaming, the one you mentioned, Oma, about 4-1. I can't see anybody under 4-1 in this race. It's so wide open. You got Naval Empire, Carrasco, capable of winning this one too. That one might dip under $10 horse, but this is a great betting race. B Mountain, Caramanis, and Loveberry, the 2 leading turf jockeys here so far, are on 12-to-1 horses, and you know how that looks, lights a tote board up if they come in. So very, very intriguing pick three here with two twin 150s.
Going up to Saratoga, they got three grade ones here. The Whitney Stakes, a mile and an eighth on the dirt. The 10th race on the card, sort of the, we'll call it the feature because it has Life is Good, who just won a grade two at Belmont. Not a little disappointing after the Dubai World Cup, finishing fourth there, even though that was a good effort. Sort of a similar path for Hot Rod Charlie. You know, it's one of the best named horses, perhaps, of all time. Everybody likes that horse. Olympiad is a force to be reckoned with here. This horse is coming in on a 5-race winning streak, most of those grade twos. I kind of like Olympia. It really impressed me in the Stephen Foster there. I didn't have him that day, but I'm not going to bet against him anymore. What do you think about the 6-horse Whitney?
Yeah, small field, not quite the attention I'm giving compared to the next race, the Saratoga Derby, which will offer you a ton of money. This one, Life is Good, 6-to-5. Olympia, about 6-to-5. I'm going to try Hot Rod Charlie one more time. I like the boys at Party, and these boys that own Hot Rod Charlie have been the party of horse racing the last couple of years with this horse. So it seems to be like a, you know, bridesmaid type horse that doesn't win all the time, but 9-to-2 or 5-to-1, I'd rather take him than Life is Good or Olympiad.
You mentioned the Saratoga Derby, a mile and 3/16 on the turf for 3-year-olds, very much like the Virginia Derby back in the day. Emmanuel's in this group. Who else do you like in about 30 seconds here on the Saratoga Derby?
Oh, yeah, the Caesars Saratoga Derby. Got to get the sponsor in there, Nick. It's big nowadays. Sports world's taking over. Annapolis, obviously, right up the street from us, 5-to-2 is a favorite here. Got an interesting Classic Causeway going. 8-to-1 on Classic Causeway. So I'm going to try both of them, Nick, and see what I can do in a wide open Saratoga Derby.
Yeah, it really is a great race. And, of course, thanks for your picks. Well, the test also is earlier as well. So thanks, Derby Bill, for your selections. And want to thank everybody as part of the show. As he mentioned, the meet at Colonial Downs, sponsored by Woodford Reserve. Want to get that sponsor in there, as well as for the Caesar Saratoga Derby. But it's been a great meet at Colonial Downs. Want to thank everybody on the show today. David Zenner got the pickup mount from Daryl Wood. Victor Carrasco taught me a little bit of Spanish. Jerry Robb with Frank Vespi there. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson with his handicapping insight. And we'll be watching that Damon's Mound next week. Be talking about that on Off to the Races. Enjoy the week, everybody. Have a lot of success at the window, and we'll talk to you next week post time, 10 o'clock.